Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news at 8 o'clock, a crash creating some pretty big delays on the Beltline. I'll show you which exits you'll want to avoid this morning.
It's a pretty start. We take a live look at Warrenton. Blue sky here, but cold temperatures. I'll show you what changes to bring some warmth back later on.
And a pretty busy night here in Durham, where council members passed a resolution for a ceasefire in Gaza. We have reaction from supporters inside.
We're also staying on top of breaking news out of Cumberland County. A 9-year-old boy died. Three others were injured after a fire destroyed a mobile home. What investigators say is the cause of that fire. Such a sad story coming out of Cumberland County this morning. As we get our Tuesday started together here, 8 o'clock, I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Thanks for joining us. We'll get you caught up on everything you need to know. But first, we got to talk about another chilly morning morning.
Nice weather cold. Beautiful, though, I guess.
Beautiful, sunny, but it's chilly out there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner showing us how cold it is.
35 degrees right now in the Triangle area, but we've seen a lot of places in the 20s this morning. We do have a light breeze coming out of the northeast at 6 miles per hour. That's going to help keep our temperatures cool today and tomorrow. And then after that, we see a wind shift, which we'll talk about coming up in just a little bit and show you how that's going to warm things up. We have climbed into the mid-30s, as I mentioned, in the Triangle. It's 35 in Fayetteville and in Clinton, but still a few 20s out there, 27 in Roxburgh, 28 in South Hill. We were in the mid-20s earlier in Southern Pines and upper 20s in Goldsboro and Rocky Mount, but starting to see those temperatures creep up just a little bit. This next system that's back to our west, which is showing here in purple, a little wintry mix, is going to dive southward and not affect us. We also had some showers along the coast earlier this morning. We're going to be in between those two systems looking at sunny skies for today. Even though it was a cold start this morning, we do climb into the upper 50s this afternoon, which is very close to normal for this time of year. We do have some rain in our forecast at the end of the work week. I'll show you when to expect it. Coming up, Brian.
8:02 right now, Elizabeth. Breaking news on 440 westbound, a crash right there at the Wake Forest Road interchange, creating some delays. And our executive producer just sent us a picture from there, and it looks like that right lane is blocked on 440 westbound, heading away from Capitol out towards the Wake Forest Road interchange. It's a 17-minute backup showing up right now on sensors between 87 out to Wade Avenue overall. But as we take a look at the map, you can see that almost all of that backup is between 87 and Wake Forest Road. If you can pick up 440 westbound from Wake Forest Road or Six Forks Road, you are going to be in the clear. But if you're coming in from farther east, you're going to run into those heavy delays. And take a look at those heavy southbound delays right now on Capitol Boulevard approaching 440. The backups begin all the way back toward Buffalo Road, all the way down toward 440. So you need to allow plenty of extra time through there. If you're trying to get to the central part of Raleigh and you typically take Capitol Boulevard, consider using Atlantic as a good alternate route this morning. I'll watch that, let you know how things are developing. Also, just in, a report of a crash on the northern side of Wake County on Highway 98 or Durham Road at Falls Cove Lane. That's not too far from Stony Hill Road. Seeing some very heavy delays in both directions with that crash, which reportedly is a crash with injuries. On the south side of Cary, they're still working to clear that crash from Cary Parkway at Kildare Farm Road, and you can see the very heavy delays in both directions. Looks like that northbound side of Kildare Farm Road is backed up from almost Tryon Road all the way up toward the Cary Parkway intersection. In Garner, still have the crash with injuries reported on Fayetteville Road or 401 at Old Stage Road. Heavy delays showing up on the northbound side of Old Stage Road approaching 401. Taking a look around the rest of the triangle, for the most part, our major routes are looking pretty typical for a Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock with the backups on US 1 northbound leaving Apex. As we check in on Durham and those backups, seeing a slowdown coming in from Raleigh on 40 westbound from Wade Avenue to the 885 interchange, about a 2-minute delay. Also some backups on 885, the usual congestion between 147 and I-40, adding about 6 minutes to your ride. If you're heading out right now, listen to us on the radio along with our live traffic updates in Raleigh at 99.3 FM and in Durham at 96.5 FM.
And back to that breaking news of a 9-year-old boy had died and three others injured after an early morning fire in Cumberland County. A fire ripped through a mobile home on Dasher Lane just outside of Fayetteville. Crews responded to the scene just after 1 o'clock this morning, and officials say the cause of the fire was due to mobile space heaters.
And more breaking news. Police in Raleigh are trying to find the person responsible for a shooting at a bowling alley overnight. Officers responded to the Stars and Strikes Family Entertainment Center off Capitol Boulevard. This happened about 11:40 last night. A person who had been shot was taken to the hospital and is expected to recover. Police say they have not yet identified any possible shooter.
Durham City Council was up late in a vote just before 1 o'clock this morning. The council voted to approve a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. The vote came after an hours-long meeting where hundreds of people gathered to talk about the issue. WRL's Laura Levine is in Durham this morning to recap what happened at that city council meeting and what's next. Laura?
Jeff, good morning. It was a busy and jam-packed night here at Durham City Hall, where, as you've mentioned, hundreds of people showed up for this, really fighting for this for months now. We know that Durham City Council met for about 6 hours. It was just before 1 o'clock this morning when they passed the resolution for a ceasefire in Gaza. Take a look at that video where you can see the hundreds of people rallying in support of this. Dozens of them, actually about 50, spoke out in a public hearing, sharing those passionate remarks. Durham is now the second city in the state to call for a ceasefire. The resolution here urges the Biden administration to call for a sustained bilateral ceasefire and calls for an end to U.S. military aid to Israel. It also calls for humanitarian aid to Gaza and the release of all hostages. I want you to take a listen at the moments after this motion was passed.
The motion passes 5-2. With Mayor Williams and Mayor Pro Tem Middleton voting no.
It really is pulling on me not to address that and acknowledging that the word genocide needs to be included in this resolution.
You can hear and see all of those people applauding after Councilmember Deidreana Freeman did ask for an amendment to the resolution to add the language of genocide in it. After that, Mayor Williams decided to conclude the meeting. With the groups that attended the meeting as well, Jewish Voice for Peace, they also plan to hold a demonstration on Thursday in Raleigh. Laura Levine, WREL News in Durham.
And social media companies are facing lawsuits over their impact on teenagers. Today, the Wake County School Board will consider whether to join one of them. Attorneys for two law firms are presenting their arguments to the school board tonight ahead of a planned vote. Lawsuits filed by school boards nationwide say social media apps are psychologically damaging to kids and distracting them during the school day. Schools say they're diverting educational resources to handle issues caused by the apps. WREL has reached out to the companies for comment, and you can follow our coverage today in the education section of WREL.com.
Court documents reveal new information about a deadly underage drunk driving crash in Chapel Hill involving a number of local college students. UNC student Travis Shaw is listed online as a UNC football player. He's accused of buying alcohol for people who are under 21. A warrant says Shaw bought three bottles of tequila for his table at Still Life Bar. Two employees there are facing charges for serving minors. WREL has reported now there are 10 people accused with various crimes from that January night. At least three of them are UNC football players. One of the drivers is 20-year-old Flamija Brewer. She was in court Monday, and her next hearing is in April. Brewer faces several charges, including felony death by vehicle. Police say she was drunk and crashed, killing passenger and fellow UNC student Molly Rotunda. WREL has learned street racing is also being considered as a factor in the crash.
Today we'll learn if the State Department of Correction must provide gender-affirming surgery for a transgender inmate in its care. WREL has tracked the story of Kanutika Zaire Brown since 2019. That's when prison officials moved the transgender woman out of an all-male prison in Warren County to a women's facility east of Charlotte. North Carolina recognizes gender dysphoria as a serious medical condition, and the DAC's health care providers did conclude that Zaire Brown requires surgery. Coming up, weight loss is a hot topic for so many people, especially teens, but is it safe for them? A look at how the drugs are helping with teens' self-esteem and what doctors are recommending.
And a new study is showing how virtual reality is helping senior citizens enjoy life. Just ahead, a look at the new technology that experts say improves their emotions and interactions with staff.
Beautiful sunshine for the next several days. Cool temperatures to start with, but we warm up into the mid-60s on Friday. We also see a front coming through that will bring us some showers. I'll walk you through the timeline coming up.
We're at 8:13 right now on your Tuesday morning. Beautiful look over the Bull City right there in Durham. And Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRN Severe Weather Center this morning. It is cold just about everywhere you turn, but still there's blue skies just about everywhere as well, Elizabeth.
Yeah, and you know, when we have blue skies, we know that it's going to warm up pretty quickly. And we will see that as we get into the afternoon. But it's been a chilly start. We take a live look at Goldsboro this morning with the blue skies. Apex looking gorgeous. Chapel Hill courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And, of course, our newsroom there in Fayetteville all looking lovely. We're going to see lots of sunshine up until Friday. That's our next system headed our way. That will come late Thursday into Friday. It looks like we may see rain at least until the early part of the afternoon. But by Thursday, once we start to get into some of those short-range forecasts, we'll have a better idea of exactly when that's going to taper off for Friday. So limited moisture, though, likely to be a half an inch or less. And behind that system, we'll see some cooler temperatures for the weekend. Here's a look at what's happening right now. Low-pressure system sitting just offshore, pulling away from us. We have another system that's back to the west. May bring a little bit of wintry mix to the southern mountains, but that one's diving southward and is not going to have much of an impact on us. So here's a look at our Friday system. This is 5 o'clock on Thursday, and you can see during the evening some rain that rolls through, some showers to start with on Friday. It may be a fairly messy commute. Some of the models want to pull this out by the evening commute. This version holds it right there for maybe 5 to 6 p.m. and then begins to clear it out. So again, keep checking back and we'll have those high resolution models in with a better idea of when that may move out. Look at this, some snow in the mountains on Saturday evening. We may see a quick shower that rolls through that front. Behind this front, it'll be a cool day on Sunday, but that front lifts away from us and opens the door for some much warmer temperatures by Monday. We'll take a look at that in just a minute. So for Friday, it's a 50% chance. Saturday, it's a 20% chance. So again, we're not looking at a whole lot of rain out of this. We take a look at the rainfall potential map here. Potentially a quarter of an inch to a half an inch. Doesn't look like a whole lot of rain. Maybe another few hundredths of an inch by Saturday. Checking out that 7-day forecast. Mid to upper 50s today and tomorrow. It is warmer Thursday and Friday. Mid 60s on Friday. But again, Friday's likely to be a gray and somewhat wet day. Some evening showers on Saturday evening. After that, we're dry on Sunday at 62. And we warm up to 70 degrees on Monday. So some interesting temperatures in this forecast, Brian.
Indeed. It is now 8:15. I want to take you to our map here and show you that we have a crash on Durham Road or Highway 98 at Falls Cove Lane. And we are seeing some backup showing up in both directions there, just north of Falls Lake. Also still seeing some heavy delays on 440 westbound because of a crash right around the Wake Forest Road interchange. Everything's been moved over to the right shoulder, but we're still looking at about a 15-minute delay now between 87 heading out toward the Wake Forest Road area. On the south side of Cary, watch for a crash on Cary Parkway at Kildare Farm Road. That one still is in the clearing stages. We're still seeing some pretty heavy delays in both directions there. And in Apex this morning, there's a crash just reported in the past few minutes on the ramp from southbound US 1 onto Highway 55. And we are seeing some heavy delays as you head away from Cary into Apex there on US 1 southbound. Allow some extra time as you head through that area.
And we're following some breaking news here in the WREL Live Center out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. We've been reporting on this all morning, the shooting that where two people were found dead in a dorm room out on Friday. Well, the chief of police in Colorado Springs just confirming that 25-year-old Nicholas Jordan, the man you see here on screen arrested in this case, was in fact the roommate of Samuel Knopp. As we've been reporting, Knopp and his friend Celie Montgomery were found dead Friday morning in that on-campus dorm. He's facing two counts of first-degree murder. We're talking about Nicholas Jordan. He is due in court later today. Counter WREL, we will, of course, keep you updated on any new developments in this case. As you can see, that memorial there growing outside that University of Colorado campus.
All right, Ken, thank you. Applications are open for organizations to receive funding that supports small businesses in Raleigh. Any nonprofit organizations will have to submit any new resources or innovative ideas that could benefit the business they serve. It's all in an effort to establish business in new or underserved areas in the city. To see if your organization is eligible, you can visit the city's Business Alliance program page. The application period closes March 25th.
Powerful flooding that left this behind in Southern California is now considered a major disaster. That declaration from the Federal Emergency Management Agency means some much-needed money will be headed to San Diego. California's governor says the declaration will help support residents and businesses still affected by January's severe weather. San Diego's mayor said the money will help with rebuilding efforts that are expected to take months or longer.
And we'll learn more today about the FBI seizing of a dark website behind many ransomware attacks all around the world. The ransomware gang known as Lockbit has claimed responsibility for several attacks using the dark web. According to a message posted on the hacker's website, it confirmed that services have been disrupted as a result of international law enforcement action. The group has taken credit for hacks that disrupted a New Jersey healthcare system, Fulton County, Georgia services, and the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China.
A man in Washington, D.C. is suing the Powerball for not honoring his jackpot. 60-year-old John Cheeks says he is owed $340 million after the incorrect winning Powerball numbers were posted on its website last year. According to the lawsuit, Cheeks bought the ticket with the incorrect numbers January 6th for the January 7th drawing. The correct numbers for that drawing weren't posted on the website until January 10th. The website agency for the Powerball claimed it accidentally posted those incorrect numbers to the D.C. lottery website, but didn't remove it until January 9th. Cheeks' attorneys say he should get the money based on a similar situation that happened in 2013, where someone was paid out for winning with incorrect numbers.
Two of the largest credit card companies could join together soon. Capital One announced it's planning to buy Discover for more than $35 billion. Capital One is the ninth largest bank in the U.S. and currently uses MasterCard and Visa for its card. The likely switch could move the cards to the Discover network. Now, if this deal is finalized, Capital One would become the sixth largest bank. The deal is expected to close within the next year.
Everyone knows exercise is good for you, but new research finds women appear to benefit more from it. Researchers looked at more than 400,000 adults between the ages of 27 and 61, and they found women didn't have to work out as hard to reduce their risk of heart disease the same amount. At the same level of exercise, they reduced their risk twice as much. Researchers also found it doesn't appear to matter how long you exercise. The intensity of the workout is far more important.
A teen with obesity is sharing her success story after taking the weight loss drug Wegovy. Demi Buckley is 16 and has obesity. She says until she started taking Wegovy, she just couldn't lose the weight. Buckley cautions, though, if teens take a weight loss drug, they must adhere to a healthy diet and exercise as well. According to Novo Nordisk, the maker of Wegovy, some of its most common side effects include stomach pain, nausea, vomiting, and dizziness, all of which Demi experienced. She also drinks lots of fluids because another side effect of these medications is dehydration. All that said, Demi went from 198 pounds to 140 pounds since she started taking Wegovy.
I don't think you have to look a certain way, but if it's going to make you feel better, then do it.
And Buckley says that she's sharing her story because she wants other teens with obesity to know that weight loss medications can help. Her mom also has obesity and successfully dropped 130 pounds with the help of a weight loss drug as well.
Virtual reality is taking senior citizens back to familiar places and providing new experiences to improve their emotional and cognitive health. Ted Lindner has details on a new study that promotes the benefits of using the technology at senior homes.
Virtual experiences are bringing back real memories for some seniors. A Stanford University survey with the help of virtual reality devices from Mind Immersive shows how the technology can have emotional and social benefits for older users.
Stimulated virtually every area of my brain.
The university surveyed 245 participants between the ages of 65 to 103. At 17 senior communities across the country. Seniors chose from a variety of 7-minute experiences, including parachuting, watching a performance, and playing with pets. The survey shows 80% of respondents had a positive attitude after using the VR device, and 60% say they feel less isolated socially as a result.
It brought back memories of my travels. In others, it brought back memories of my experience growing up on a farm.
Chris Brickler with Mind Immersive says the technology helps users be immersed in a seemingly real experience.
The mind thinks that we're actually close to being in that reality. So that can bring back a tremendous amount of joy, a tremendous amount of memories.
Some senior homes are already using the technology in other areas, such as recalling memories for people with Alzheimer's disease or other dementia. Mind Immersive is also making improvements to the devices based on feedback from older users.
If you throw the rock back about 4 years, that this is brand new technology, what's it going to be like in the next 10 as the systems emerge and just get better and better?
That is quite interesting. That was Ted Lindner reporting.
Coming up for us, Wake School leaders could decide to join other school districts nationwide in a lawsuit against social media companies. Why school leaders say the apps are negatively impacting classrooms.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Tuesday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. Brian Schrader tracking some backups on the road. Brian, you're tracking a crash on I-440.
That's right. On the westbound side, the right lane is blocked at Wake Forest Road. You can see the crash there blocking that lane as you try to get to the ramp onto Wake Forest Road from 440 westbound. A 16-minute delay showing up right now between 87 out toward Wake Forest Road. If you can pick up 440 westbound from that exit, you're in good shape heading out towards Six Forks Road and beyond. However, Capitol Boulevard is not a great option this morning, and the delays on Capitol Boulevard heading southbound toward 440 begin all the way back at Buffalo Road. In Apex, watch for a crash on US 1 southbound at the 55 interchange, blocking two right lanes there. Also, we're getting reports of a crash on the north side of Wake County on Highway 98 near Stony Hill Road with some heavy delays in both directions.
It's a pretty start this morning. We're seeing lots of sunshine, Durham, Raleigh, and Fayetteville, but temperatures are chilly. We started in the 20s in a lot of places. Now we're looking at 35 in Durham and Raleigh and 35 in Fayetteville, and temperatures are on their way into the upper 50s this afternoon. A coat feels great this morning. There may be a little bit of patchy frost, but with the sunshine that we're seeing, a lot of that is melted, and there's not a lot of moisture in the atmosphere for frost. We've seen some on the grass in a few places. Exercising this afternoon, pretty comfortable in the upper 50s. If you can't head out until the evening, expect 6 o'clock temperatures in the low 50s.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Today, the Wake County School Board could decide to join a lawsuit suing social media companies. This all comes after school boards nationwide say the apps are psychologically damaging and cause distractions. 11 other North Carolina school systems are already suing the companies. Coming up next for us on Fox 50, an expert weighs in on how to make sure your teen prioritizes better sleep habits.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking at 8:30, a crash on the Beltline creating some big delays this morning. I'll show you which exits you'll want to avoid.
And it's a pretty start this morning. Gorgeous blue sky. Our temperatures will be chilly today and tomorrow, but I'll show you what changes to bring us some warmth later this week.
Today, Wake County school leaders will meet about joining a lawsuit against social media companies. Just ahead, how school systems nationwide are already involved and their claims that social media is negatively impacting students. Plus, Durham City leaders have passed a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. The meeting that went into the early morning hours and the important language included in that resolution. We will have that and a lot more for you on your Tuesday morning. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for making us part of your Tuesday here. Bright sunshine, blue skies. That clear, though, started out pretty cold this morning.
Yeah.
Hasn't let up just yet. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRM Severe Weather Center for us.
Looking at mid-30s at this point. Now, we did start off in the mid-20s in a few spots. We do have a northeasterly wind at 6 miles per hour. That's what's keeping our temperatures cool. We'll have a northeasterly flow for the next couple of days, but by Thursday, it shifts to southerly and begins to warm things up. So feeling pretty pleasant toward the end of the week, except Friday when we may see a few showers, and I'll walk you through how much rain we could see coming up. We're above the 20s everywhere, but not quite above freezing. In South Hill, 32, 30 in Roxboro, but it is 33 now in Southern Pines, 33 in Rocky Mountain, 37 in Clinton, 35 in the Triangle. Our big picture, we have this system that's back to our west. It's going to fizzle out as it drops down into Georgia with no impact for us. We also had a few showers along the coast this morning. That is moving away from us. So we have a northerly, northeasterly flow that keeps our temperatures close to normal today. 57 for the high. If you're going to be out this evening, temperatures will still be in the 50s. We do have a couple more cold mornings before some milder air arrives. I'll show you when that happens. Coming up, Brian.
It is 8:32 right now. Good news. News on 440 westbound. That crash we've been following, blocking the right lane at Wake Forest Road, has just been cleared, pushed down the ramp there. Still seeing some lingering delays, though. A 15-minute backup overall on 440 westbound between 87 out to Wade Avenue. As we zoom into that area on our sensor map, you can see that most of those delays, pretty much all of those backups, are between 87 and that Wake Forest Road interchange. So you need to allow some extra time there coming in from the east side of Raleigh until we can get some of that traffic worked through in that area. We'll see steady improvement here for the next little while. Heads up, if you're coming in from the north side of Raleigh on southbound Capitol Boulevard, very heavy delays, ramp delays, because of those backups on 440 begin all the way back around Buffalo Road. So it's a slow ride from the north side of Raleigh. If you're trying to get under the Beltline and into the central part of Raleigh from the north side of town, consider using Atlantic Avenue this morning. Avoid using Capitol if you can't. When I head out to Apex, there's that live camera at US 1 at Highway 55 on that southbound side right there at the ramp. We have a couple of lanes blocked, seeing some backups coming in from 1010 Road down toward 55 on US 1 southbound this morning. Also watching a crash on the north side of Raleigh, a report of some sort of an incident at least on the northbound side of Capitol Boulevard right around Perry Creek Road. Heavy delays from the 540 interchange, and we still have that crash reported on Durham Road or Highway 98 at Falls Cove Lane, just north of Falls Lake, with some very heavy backups in both directions. As we check in on Cary, it looks like that earlier crash on Cary Parkway at Kildare Farm Road has cleared. We're still seeing some backups on 885 in both directions in Durham. I'll have another traffic update coming up in a few minutes.
Thank you, Brian. Breaking news, a 9-year-old boy has died and three others are hurt after an early morning fire in Cumberland County. Fire ripped through a mobile home on Dasher Lane just outside of Fayetteville. Crews responded to the scene just after 1 o'clock this morning, and officials say the 9-year-old died at the scene. Two adults and another child were taken to the hospital. We are working to learn more about the severity of their injuries. Officials say the cause of that fire was due to a space heater.
Also breaking news, as police in Raleigh continue to search for the person responsible for a shooting at a bowling alley overnight. Officers responded to the Stars and Strikes Family Entertainment Center off Capitol Boulevard. This was about 11:40 last night. A person who had been shot was taken to the hospital and is expected to recover. So far, no arrest in this case.
New this morning, Durham City Council has approved a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. The vote came down just before 1 o'clock this morning after a long meeting where hundreds of people gathered to talk about the topic. As WRL's Laura Levine explains, this move comes after months of discussion and hundreds of people showing up to these meetings.
It was a jam-packed and busy night here at City Hall in Durham, where that meeting lasted for about 6 hours. We know that City Council passed that resolution just before 1 o'clock for a ceasefire in Gaza. I want you to take a look at some of this video where you can see hundreds of people who rallied in support of this. Dozens of them spoke up, sharing passionate remarks on why this was so critical to them. Durham is now the second city in the state to call for a ceasefire. Durham's resolution urges the Biden administration to call for a sustained bilateral ceasefire and calls for an end to U.S. military aid to Israel. It also calls for humanitarian aid to Gaza and the release of all hostages. The motion passed 5-2. City Council members in favor expressed this is just one step.
This is a small piece of a bigger effort, hopefully. But that's the part that I think I hold the most, is that we all have to do better. We all have to realize our own humanity, our shared humanity, and that we do need to move in a collective way if we want any hope of a different future.
The group Jewish Voice for Peace is among several groups that showed up, and they're going to be holding a demonstration in Raleigh as well on Thursday. Laura Levine, WRL News in Durham.
Today in Wake County schools, leaders will decide whether to sue social media companies over their effect on teens. It's one of many lawsuits filed by school districts all across the country that companies are facing. And WRS Kelsey Coffey shares why it's important for school leaders to take this step.
Educators who support this lawsuit say social media causes psychological damage for students, and it's now impacting the classroom environment and students' learning. So tonight, Wake County school leaders will meet here at the district headquarters to talk about joining the lawsuit. Attorneys for two law firms are presenting their arguments at tonight's meeting. 11 other North Carolina school systems have already joined the lawsuit, including Cumberland, Johnston, Wilson, Moore, and Wayne counties. These are just a few examples of what school systems are saying in their lawsuits. They claim counselors are overwhelmed by a higher demand for help, kids are distracted by social media during the school day, and teachers are spending more time disciplining students for actions related to social media. WRAL has reached out to these social media companies for comment. We're still waiting to hear back. Until then, we'll keep you updated on what happens during tonight's meeting. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, and Carrie.
Also tonight, the Wake County School Board will consider bonuses for some educators. The board will vote on giving bonuses to educators at its highest need schools. Teachers and assistant principals would get up to $3,000 in bonuses over 2 years and get access to more training. Principals could get up to $5,000 in bonuses. It's part of a new program designed to improve education and employee retention. It would just be for the 24 lower income and lower performing schools. You can find out more about the program at the education section of WRL.com. The school board will also hear a presentation about what would be required to pay employees twice per month instead of just once a month. Any changes would affect all schools, and the board isn't expected to make any of those changes right now.
And happening now in the WRN Live Center, it's shaping up to be a tough day on Wall Street. That is expected to open in the red this morning. Let's take a look at the big board this morning. You can see Dow Jones futures off more than 130 points. S&P futures, NASDAQ futures also in the red this morning. Analysts say investors are concerned about a recent spike in inflation, which signals the Federal Reserve may not cut interest rates as soon or as much as some investors were hoping this year. Of course, we'll have the opening numbers in our 9 o'clock hour right here on Fox 50.
Today, Brogdon Middle School students and staff will thank a bus driver for her heroic actions after this bus caught fire with students inside. This dramatic video circulated on social media shortly after the fire. This happened near American and White Pine Drives on Friday. The driver got all 23 students off that bus safely. School administrators say a thorough investigation is underway involving both the Durham Fire Department and the company that built that bus. The bus driver, Deanna Washington, will be honored in a ceremony in front of the school at 1:30 this afternoon.
For them, she's a hero. Happening today, we are expecting to learn the next steps in the Six Forks Road widening project. City Council is expected to consider three of the five plans and then decide how to move forward. City leaders have been working on plans to widen a two-mile stretch of Six Forks Road for several years now, hoping to ease traffic from North Hills to Lynn Road. The project is going to be a lot more expensive than originally planned because of soaring costs of land the city needs to buy to complete the project. The original cost was estimated at just over $31 million in 2017. Well, that number is now estimated to be almost $120 million. Sleep is an important part of everyone's diet, especially kids and teens. But is your teen getting enough sleep? Coming up, one doctor shares what's behind teens' lack of sleep.
And putting your phone in a bag of rice may not be the best solution anymore. Coming up, why Apple is giving new advice on what to do when your iPhone gets wet.
And as we head to break, here is a live look at North Hills. It is a sunny, cold day out there right now. Just ahead, meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner will tell us when we might expect some rain this week.
It is 8:43 on this beautiful morning. We're taking a live look at Wake Forest right now. You can see the gorgeous blue sky. We are seeing that all across the viewing area. Temperatures were cold this morning. We dropped down into the mid-20s in a few places, but right now in the Triangle, it's 35. So we're starting to see those temperatures climb just a little bit. I mean, still winter coat weather as you head out the door. But by lunchtime, we'll see temperatures in the low 50s. So we're back to jacket weather, and we'll see a mild upper 50s for highs this afternoon. Our dew point's 27. That means it's fairly dry. It was cold enough this morning for some patchy frost out there and a few places, but we're above freezing almost everywhere at this point. Still looking at 32 in Roxboro, but elsewhere, mainly in the low to mid 30s. We are at 38 in Clinton and 37 now in Goldsboro. So temperatures are on their way up. Expect a high of 57 in Raleigh this afternoon, 56 in Durham, and 59 in Fayetteville. So lots of sunshine on tap. Now, our wind is coming out of the northeast right now. You see the blue arrows there coming right out of the northeast, but we see that changing on Thursday. Watch how everything just swirls around, and then we see our flow coming out of the south, and the colors there turn red, so we're going to see much warmer temperatures for Thursday and Friday. 57 is our normal high. We'll see that today and 59 tomorrow, but we're in the mid-60s on Thursday and Friday. In terms of the work week, Thursday is probably going to be the nicest day at 64. I mean, 65 on Friday looks nice, but it'll be a cloudy day, and we'll likely have some scattered showers, especially for the first half of the day, maybe even into mid-afternoon. Saturday will be a little bit cooler, but Sunday looks like a nice day. With some of these milder temperatures, we're beginning to see the pollen creeping up just a little bit. Moderate on Wednesday and Thursday for trees, and grass pollen starting to creep up a little bit too. And our Climate in Crisis series, we're looking at how many more days we're seeing where temperatures are above freezing. Of course, the longer the growing season is, the longer the pollen season is. The growing season is all the days between that last freeze in the spring and that first freeze in the fall. And between 1970 and 2021, we've seen 28 additional days on average. That's a lot. That's a whole month of the potential for a bit more pollen across our area. With the warmer temperatures, so we're also seeing the potential for the trees to leaf out a little earlier too. Most of our viewing area is in the red shaded area, which is going to be about 10 to 15 days earlier than normal. And speaking of things that are above normal, a lot of the country will wrap up this month from the 27th into early March with above normal temperatures, including us potentially. So looking at mid to upper 50s on today and tomorrow, and then in the mid 60s Thursday and Friday, but Friday looks like it may be a fairly wet day. Sunday's looking really nice with sunshine and 62, and it doesn't stop there. We're 70 on Monday, Brian.
Elizabeth here at 8:46. Want to update you about some of these crashes we're following on US 1 southbound at 55 in Apex. You can see a couple of lanes blocked there as they work to get this crash cleared. They do have what appears to be a tow truck on the scene, so hopefully this gets cleared pretty quickly. Expect a delay on southbound US 1 between 1010 Road and 55. Looking better on the Beltline as we take a live look at 440 at Wake Forest Road. That earlier crash has cleared now. We're still seeing some lingering delays, but only a 5-minute backup as you head from 87 out toward the Capitol Boulevard interchange. Also, we're starting to see traffic easing up quite a bit on southbound Capitol Boulevard. Just a little bit of a delay there approaching the Trawick Road intersection. Then it clears up nicely heading toward 440. So some improvement there on the east side of Raleigh. Still watching some heavy delays on Capitol Boulevard, especially on that northbound side. A report of a crash right around Perry Creek Road with backups from 540 up to Perry Creek Road on the northbound or outbound side of Capitol Boulevard. We still have that crash reported on 98 or Durham Road, right around Falls Cove Lane, north of Falls Lake. Still seeing a little bit of a delay as you head west of Wake Forest.
Peak of flu season is over, but cases still remain high across the country. New data shows medical visits for respiratory illness have been above normal since November. But the CDC says flu hospitalization rates were about half in the first weeks of February from what they were at the end of December. The agency also says COVID-19 hospitalization rates were down a third. CDC says vaccination remains the best protection, especially for people at an increased risk for severe disease.
There's new help for people with multiple food allergies. The FDA approved an asthma medication to help reduce the severity of those reactions. Patients would take an injection of Xolair once every 4 weeks, and then if they accidentally ingest something they're allergic to, the reaction is milder. Xolair is not meant for the emergency treatment of allergic reactions, and the drug was originally invented to treat allergic asthma.
Sleep is important, especially for teens, but health experts say many are not getting the amount of sleep they need, and it is taking a toll on their health. CDC says teens who don't get 8 to 10 hours of sleep each night have a higher risk of developing health issues like obesity, diabetes, and injuries, even poor mental health. Lisa Meltzer is a pediatric sleep specialist and says that a big problem is social media. However, apps like TikTok and Instagram have recently released nighttime nudge features to remind teens it's time to go to sleep.
This is useful because teens can't turn the nudges off. They can't ignore them, but at least they pop up and give teens a sense that it's getting late and perhaps it's time to wind down, turn the technology off.
And Meltzer says parents also play a role in helping teens prioritize sleep. She recommends parents enforce the same bedtime routines during the weekends or days off from school to not disrupt their habits.
Well, you may have been told to put your iPhone in rice if you've ever gotten it wet, but Apple is now advising against it. The tech giant says putting a wet iPhone in a bag of rice could allow small particles of rice to damage it. Instead, Apple recommends tapping your device softly against your hand to drain the liquid, then leaving it in a dry place for about 30 minutes. Apple also advises against using an external heat source or inserting cotton swabs or paper towels in the charging cords to dry them. If you still see a liquid detected alert when trying to charge your iPhone, you may have to let it dry for a full 24 hours.
The NASCAR season is off to a fast and furious start after this photo finish at the Daytona 500. William Byron crossed the line first as two other drivers crashed and were sliding sideways as that race-ending caution flag went out. It's the first time Byron has won the Daytona 500. He is the sixth different driver to win the race for Hendrick Motorsports. The NASCAR season continues next week with a race in Atlanta.
Two college basketball teams may be facing disciplinary action after a brawl on the court. Take a look at this. The fight broke out between players from Texas A&M Commerce and Incarnate Word after their Southland Conference game last night. The broadcast analysis said a young girl in the crowd was hurt during that brawl, and one of the team's managers had blood on his face. Neither authorities nor the schools gave any official information about any injuries.
Just shake hands, guys. Starbucks has opened its first cafe designed to give more accessibility to people with disabilities. The new cafe in Washington, D.C. includes softer indoor lighting. It also has materials that minimize background noise that could disrupt people who use hearing aids. The counters are also lower to help people in wheelchairs and scooters more easily pick up their orders. Entertainment news now. A musical based on a high-profile celebrity is coming to U.S. Regina King transforms into a political icon and more.
Yeah, here's Ashley Dvorkin with all of the latest in the Hollywood Nation.
I am running for president.
Of the United States?
A first look at King's iconic role, another heist for Berlin, and Paltrow's Trial Goes musical in the Hollywood Nation.
My name is Gwyneth Paltrow.
The musical Gwyneth Goes Skiing will make its U.S. debut. After a successful run in London, the 90-minute play will open at the Egyptian Theater in Park City, Utah later this year. The stage show satirizes the high-profile ski crash trial between Gwyneth Paltrow and optometrist Terry Sanderson. It will feature creators Linus Karp and Joseph Martin reprising their roles as the Oscar winner and doctor, with Glee star Darren Criss providing vocals for Sanderson's musical numbers.
We're gonna have such a good time.
The group of thieves from the hit series Berlin will be back for another job. Netflix has renewed the Money Heist spinoff for a second season. Pedro Alonso, who plays the show's title character Berlin, and his castmates will reprise their roles. The prequel story is currently the ninth most watched non-English language series in the streamer's history.
The people of America are watching us.
Speaking of Netflix, the streaming giant dropped a first look at Regina King portraying political icon Shirley Chisholm in the upcoming biopic Shirley. Chisholm was the first black woman to be elected to the U.S. Congress, and the film chronicles her trailblazing run for president in 1972. It starts streaming March 22nd.
You're about to make history.
Maybe we should find your mother. That was Ashley Dvorkin reporting. And before we go to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic coming up next.